Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Whatever is mastering your life, the agenda of your life, my life, the audience we play to, those we want to approve, if it's anything other than the Master Jesus Christ, we can't really submit our bodies. A living killing. Kill my goals, my desires, your goals, your desire. And then we present a sacrifice to Him. It is a holy sacrifice.
The truth is, real transformation comes from the Lord. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young opens the book of Romans to help you renew your mind and be transformed to God's will in his message, Becoming a Living Sacrifice. Stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a $75,000 challenge grant that has been offered to help meet a vital $500,000 year-end need. This exciting challenge means your gift today will go twice as far to help The Winning Walk close out this year on the strongest possible footing, ready to proclaim the gospel far and wide in the year ahead. Your generosity will lead to a spiritual harvest as together we scatter seeds of truth across the world through this program. So, call today to help meet the year-end need, knowing that your gift will go twice as far when combined with the challenge grant. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping reach more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Becoming a Living Sacrifice.
We've been studying the book of Romans. And you can outline the book of Romans by using the word therefore. You see the word therefore? We ask, what is it therefore? Then we come to Romans chapter 12. That's where we're going to look at only two verses today. Romans chapter 12, it says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice. Therefore, says, we are to present our bodies. And he says, therefore, I urge you. Now, the word urge there is not a command, but it's somewhere between a command and a suggestion, you know. He's being tactful. He's saying, I passionately plead with you. I urge you. Then he says, on the basis of what? The mercies of God. What's the mercies of God? It's all that we've looked at in the past, what God has done for us in Christ, getting us right with Him, and remember, right with ourselves and right with others. That's the mercies of God. But the only problem here, this is plural. It is plural. So the mercies is present tense, not past tense. In the past tense, what has been the mercy of God? It is the coming of Jesus. You know who Jesus is? Let me tell you who Jesus is in a different kind of way. Jesus is the autobiography of God. Whoa. What does that mean? Autobiography, someone tells you the story of their life from their perspective. Jesus is God in flesh, God incarnate. It is God's autobiography lived out in history and time and space. And that's a part of the mercy of God. We see God's revelation of Himself in true time, in true history. You know what the mercy of God is for you and me? Is your heart beating? Everybody's heart beating? Oh, are we breathing? You know, some people have trouble breathing for different problems. They take medication, and breath is so precious. My son Cliff has five children. Four of them have asthma. And in those periods, many of us have gone through this personally with our family. Just breath, that's just to breathe. That's a part of the mercy of God, isn't it? Let's prepare for the teaching of the word. Our Heavenly Father, forgive us when we get caught up in the past. Forgive us we get caught up in the future. May we see that it is the now. Now is the day of our salvation. Now is the day of our belonging to you. Now is the day for us to walk in your steps. Lord, I pray that you will speak and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What if you decided you wanted to give something to God? What if you decided, I want to give God something? What could God use? What does God need? What does God want? You talk about somebody's got everything. Somebody's got it all. That's God. What if you decide to give something to him? What in the world does he want? What could he use? What does he need? He's got everything. But there's one thing that would be the gift that he desires. Only one thing. And that's you. That's you. That's the only thing he wants, the only thing he can use, the only thing he needs is you and you and you and you and me. That's the only thing we can give him. That's what he wants. That's what he needs. That's what he'll use. So we say, he wants all of me. You know, we were kids, we were fighting, we'd say, you want a piece of me. You know? We say, we got through singing, I surrender, oh. Most of us, oh, I was just singing this, it's church, you know, I surrender, oh, it's old hymn. We'd sing, we should have sang, I surrender part. I surrender some. I surrender most. No. He says, we're to surrender all. So how do we give ourselves to him? He said, present your body. Your body. Oh. The body is a part of this? Oh, yeah. You see, Christianity is a very physical faith. It's very, very physical. The other religions of the world, and primarily the Eastern religion, even the Greek and Greek philosophers and the Romans, they had the idea the body didn't make any difference about the body. I mean, this body is just something. It was the spirit. It was get outside the body, get above the body. The body is not anything, but Christianity came in and emphasized the body, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the flesh. So Paul says, what God wants us to present our bodies to him, our bodies to him. That's the first thing we do. We decide to give something to God, you start giving your body. Say, oh, I want to give it all. I want to give most, sometimes, maybe. I'm a whole little contingency back here. You know what I might. But he says, you give your body as a living sacrifice. Now, we know the word sacrifice involves death, right? We know the sacrificial system the Jews had. We know in pagan religions, they go make sacrifices of animals and goats and sometimes human sacrifice in order to honor God, to make atonement for their sin, or to get leadership from God. We know the sacrificial system that was there. The Jews would bring a lamb or a goat, and they would kill it and bleed it and put it on the altar, and they would it would slide off the altar sometimes. They were burning that which was left, and they had those flesh hooks and the grease, and they would take it and put it back on the altar until it was consumed. And they felt the smoke from that sacrifice would go up to God, and it would be a sweet fragrance to him, and that it was making atonement, the shed blood for their sin. We know that. But now Paul takes this to a whole new genre, a whole new understanding. He said, we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, as a living killing. That's different, isn't it? Whoa, what's he talking about? A living killing. In other words, if we're to present our bodies, there has to be a death involved. That's why the word sacrifice is used. What is the death? You decide, I want to give God my body. I want to be a living killing. What do we have to kill? What is that we sacrifice? What's he asking us to sacrifice? The biggest, toughest thing you and I have to sacrifice, that is what has to die. That's what we have to kill. He'll help us kill it. What is it? It's the idea that I want to run my life. I want to call the shots. I want to make all the decisions. That's what we have to kill. Oh, this is heavy. It is. A living killing. In other words, I'm alive, but I have killed my desires, my agenda, my idea, what I think I ought to do. I have killed the choices that I in the flesh would make and you in the flesh would make. That's the reason when we say, present all of our body, we back up and say, whoa, wait a minute. I surrender some. See? That's a big thing. Present, give to him our body on the altar, a living killing. We kill our goals, we maintain his. I had walked life's way with an easy tread. I'd followed where pleasures and comforts led until one day in a quiet place, I met my master face to face. With station and rank and wealth for my goal, much thought for my body, but none for my soul, I entered to win in life's mad race when I met the master face to face. I met him and knew him and blushed to see that his eyes full of sorrow were fixed upon me. And I faltered and fell at his feet that day and watched my castles all melt and vanish away. My thoughts are now for the souls of men. I lost my life, only to find it again. Ever since that day, in a quiet place, I met my master face to face. That's what involved surrender. A living killing. A holy sacrifice. Oh, it's so difficult to do. Remember the rich young ruler, he came to Jesus. Jesus was gathering all his followers at that time. He were calling people, follow me. And here's this young man, rich man. Man, he comes running to Jesus. He falls down before Jesus. He said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, hey, keep all the commandments. And he dealt with the commandments that are moral. He dealt with the commandments that are horizontal. See, horizontal commandments. And that young man said, I have not broken a single one of the moral commandments. The Bible says Jesus loved him. He said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, go and sell everything you have and follow me. Whoa. He was dedicated to fortune and fame and power and pleasure. He had it all. Man, look what he had. He ran to Jesus, had the right attitude, didn't he? He fell before his face. Man, that's a place to begin with Jesus. He asked the right question. He was young. He was affluent. He was popular. He was moral. He was ethical. He had everything. Isn't that the kind of person you'd like to have on your team? Honestly, you want to change the world? Man, I want a guy like that. Oh, absolutely. He could make a difference. But the problem was, he said, Master, he had to give up his other masters before he could be a master and mastered by the master. See, that's the difference. Doesn't mean we all have to sell everything. Some may. Whatever is mastering your life, the agenda of your life, my life, the audience we play to, those we want to approve, if it's anything other than the master, Jesus Christ, we can't really submit our bodies. See? Can't submit our bodies. A living killing. Kill my goals, my desires, your goals, your desire. And then a living killing. Then we present a sacrifice to him. It is a holy sacrifice. You know, we don't like the word holy. It doesn't fit in. Holy. No. We don't like that word holy. What does it mean? It's a set apart. It's an exclusive thing. We're holy. We're set apart. We're a living sacrifice, a living killing that has been set apart, and it is acceptable. Who? To God. To God. It's acceptable to Him. What does it take to be acceptable to Him when we present our bodies? Malachi, great story. Here's a shepherd, and he looks around and says, you know, I want to give God something. I want to let God know how much I love Him. And, oh, look at that sheep, that lamb. She is prized. That's the prized sheep in all of my flock. I mean, oh, man, the genetics there. Man, all the sons and daughters that lamb will have. I mean, look at the wool. Look at, ooh, that's a prize. That's a very valuable, valuable lamb that I have there. I think I'm going to take that and sacrifice to God. I want to give God something to be acceptable to Him. The best that I... Oh, wait a minute. There's a lamb over there. It looks pretty good. I mean, you know, it's pretty attractive lamb. Nobody knows except the shepherd which lamb is really the best lamb. You know, well, I'm subjective here. I know, but you wouldn't know. I'm going to give to the Lord. I want to give it. I want to give Him this first team lamb. And, you know, it's a pretty good looking lamb. And here's the second team lamb over here. Oh, man, that may be better. I'm going to give this second team over here. Nobody really will know. Well, maybe some will that's in the sheep business, but not everybody. Well, that's pretty valuable lamb. Oh, there's a third teamer over there. Look at that pitiful lamb over there, limping, crippled. Man, that lamb's not going to be long, never have any more fleece. It's out of it. I think I'll kill that lamb in a hurry and take that and bleed it and take it up there. Nobody will know it's not my prize lamb. See, these other lambs aren't going to be acceptable. Remember John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and said, behold, the Lamb of God, the best God had was His Son, Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God. That was the sacrifice, and that was acceptable. And that covers up your sin and my sin, doesn't it? So when we present our bodies, a living sacrifice, a living killing of our goals and our desires, we become His. It is holy. It is set apart. And it is acceptable by God because it's from the depth of our being and it's all that we have and all that will ever be. That's the first thing God wants. Present our body. Present your body. And then look at the second stanza, and they belong together. One complements the other. It says, renew your mind. Renew your mind. How in the world do you renew your mind? Well, the Bible teaches us very clearly. It says, do not be conformed to the world. Conform means to be shaped. It's like hands taking something, a sculpture. And you shape something. We get conformed to the world. Let me tell you something. You just live in this world, the world will shape you. Absolutely, it will shape you. And you'll wake up one day prayerfully and hopefully say, how in the world did I get in this mess? I hear this all, how in the world did this happen to me? I never would have thought. And usually it's someone who's been caught up in the agenda of the world and say, you know, I was just at this bar and I was just having a drink and we were laughing and all of a sudden, how did this happen to me? Oh, see? Take, ladies and gentlemen, I could go to the happy hour every day for a month and I would come back to you and you wouldn't recognize me. So what happened to him? Oh, I just went to the happy hour. And I wouldn't even have to drink. You see, the world will take us in its agenda and mold us and shape us and put us, and we'll wake up and say, oh, I don't know how this happened. We're not to be conformed to this world if we're going to have our minds renewed. You just can't do it. It says, be ye transformed. Now, that's a big word. Be ye transformed, transformation. And the word here, is we get our word metamorphosis. You're in the third grade. The teacher stands up and says, see this little bowl here, these tadpoles swimming around in circles? See those tadpoles? Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you know those tadpoles are going to end up being frogs? And in the third grade, if you'd never heard of this, and you say, oh, I can't believe. Some of you may not have known that even here. So he said, oh, I cannot believe that tadpole would be a frog. But there's a metamorphosis. Did you know that a tadpole is herbivorous, lives on plants? Do you know that? Herbivorous plants? But when a tadpole goes through a metamorphosis, a transformation, becomes a frog is carnivorous, bugs, meat. Huh. The same DNA. The tadpole has the same DNA as the frog, but suddenly there is a transformation. There's a metamorphosis. This is what happens to us in Christ Jesus. When we present our bodies, he renews our minds, and suddenly we think differently. There is a metamorphosis. And by the way, the phrase renewal of your mind, how many of you received your education primarily before the 1960s? Would you lift your hand with mine? I barely made it. Now, all of us in this category, you know what you were taught in your science classes? You were taught that the mind is permanently formed at birth, first month or maybe a year of life, and then your mind is there forever. That's what you were taught. And the scientists said, your mind cannot be changed. It is form. And it's true we have all the neutrons we'll ever have, but your mind is permanently formed. That's what everybody was taught. Scientists dogmatically said that. Guess what today? They talk about mind mapping. They talk about how minds are renewed all the time. There is brain damage and the synapse comes and all of a sudden there is a new mind mapping and there's an old pathway that's been there and now there is a new pathway that can come. I checked this with Dr. Ben Carson this past week on the telephone.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Revelation 22:17. There is one word in the Bible that I believe must be one of God's favorites. It's a tremendous word. In fact, if you took every word out of the Bible except this one, you would still have enough good news to proclaim to the ages. It was the favorite word on the lips of Jesus as he walked the earth. It is a word of invitation. It is the word come. Throughout the New Testament, Jesus called people to come to him for salvation, healing, rest, fulfillment, for meaning, for excitement. Whenever we thirst for fullness and meaning in life, he invites us to come to the fountain of life and drink freely. So I encourage you to listen carefully. Jesus is inviting you to come to him and drink the living water. And the good news is, he always satisfies. In fact, more than that, we drink the living water. It overflows with the love of Christ in the lives of everyone we encounter.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. Before we let you go, though, we'd like to remind you about the urgent $500,000 year-end need, which must be met by December 31. Your support is vital to ensure that together we can sow seeds of the gospel in more hearts and lives in the year ahead. And don't forget, your support will go twice as far when combined with the $75,000 challenge grant. So call now to give and help reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thank you. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young wraps up his message on how you can walk confidently in God's will.